When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 123 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. What does it feel like to get excited that you're pregnant only to find out, you know, a few weeks later that you had another miscarriage? Recurrent miscarriages are far too common and many go undiagnosed. Today's guest has had 3 miscarriages and wanted to help women through the struggle of infertility and work through the grief of miscarriage. Chef Vernetta Stewart is the founder of Footprints of Angels, a nonprofit organization aimed to support women impacted by infertility and recurrent miscarriages. In this episode, Chef Vernetta shares how multiple miscarriages have impacted her and her family, her drive for founding Footprints of Angels, and the next steps in her journey to motherhood. This episode is for you to listen to if you've ever experienced a miscarriage or a recurrent miscarriage and are holding on to hope for God's promise by blessing you with a baby and a family one day. Here is Chef Vernetta Stewart.
So I am so excited, you guys, to have Vernetta here to share with us on our Healing and Prayer Summit. So welcome you all to our Healing and Prayer Summit. I'm excited for you all to hear from Vernetta today. So Vernetta, in your own words, just share a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Vernetta Stewart, and I am a chef by trade. So I've been a professional chef since about 2006, but then I'm also the founder of Footprints of Angels. And what we do, we're a nonprofit that support women that are impacted by recurring pregnancy loss and infertility.
Love that. I love Footprints of Angels, and I love your whole message around that. So let's just talk about your story and your journey and kind of how you just your healing after loss.
So what happened, how Footprints of Angels came about, How Footprints of Angels got started is I had suffered a few miscarriages. And the last one was in a couple of years ago when it happened. And I was about 20 weeks pregnant. So I didn't have any symptoms or anything like that happened. I just woke up one morning and I was like, something's not right. And I was spotting. So during that time, I went to the emergency room and they said, well, you know, if you're miscarrying, there's anything that we could do, but please, you know, come back at, you know, if it starts to get a little bit heavier, a little bit more painful. So that was on a Friday. Then going into Sunday, I was on bed rest all day Saturday. And then going into Sunday morning, I started to spot heavier. It became painful. And so we got up and we, you know, went back to the emergency room. At the time, my doctor was coming out to see another mom that was expecting. And so she said, well, let me come down to the emergency room and I'll go ahead and check her. So when she checked, she said, yeah, she said, I can actually feel the sac. And so at that time, I didn't know what to think. I was like, you know, I felt like I took care of myself. I went to all my doctor's appointments. You know, what happened? And so she said, we're going to go ahead and admit you. And so I went in and then I said, well, how long will it take? And she asked if, you know, she said, well, do you want us to help you, you know, carry it along or do you want to do it naturally? So I said, well, if I do it naturally, how long will it take? And she said, it may be 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 hours. She said, but I can tell you, I can feel the sac, so it won't be long. So by the time they admitted me, got me situated and everything, I delivered a baby boy. So in that, I was kind of turned upside down because I was excited. I was looking forward to it. And then just to have it happen so suddenly with no warning or signs or symptoms, I just didn't know what to do. So I kind of went back on my journey, went back to work, kind of just went back to life. Then end of last year, around about this same time, I found out that I was pregnant again. And so really excited, went to the doctor, saw the heartbeat. I was like, yes, you know, so, you know, just very happy. And when I went back for my 2 weeks checkup, at this time, I'm about 10 weeks, there was no heart. So now I'm like, oh no. And so I had what is called a missed miscarriage. So I didn't have any bleeding. I didn't have any spotting or anything like that. So I had to take medicine to pass the baby. And I'll tell you, that was, I feel like, was harder than the other one because you're kind of just sitting and waiting for this to happen. And so at that time, I was a couple of weeks shy of my 40th birthday. So my doctor said, well, you're about to be 40. We've had this happen a couple of times. Let's go see, you know, a reproductive endocrinologist to see what's going on because you're 40, because you're advanced maternal age. And so that led me to the reproductive endocrinologist. And going there, I had made appointments because I had the miscarriage in September and I made an appointment for October and I canceled. And I made another appointment and I canceled it. And I kept canceling because I wasn't ready to face it. I wasn't, as they would say, I wasn't healed. I felt like I was. But I think when you're truly healing from something and you're healed from it, you'll take the next step to get answers to what's going on. They previously diagnosed me with an incompetent cervix. Had never heard that term before. So I was like, what is this? You know, and it's that you just can't carry the weight of a baby. Now, I'll tell you all, I am 4'9". So I am very, very short. And prior to that, I just made some healthy lifestyle changes within myself, changed how I eat, lost a lot of weight. At my heaviest, I was about 245. And then I got down to 175. So I was excited. I'm like, I'm eating good. I'm doing everything well. How did this happen? And the biggest part for me, and I think a lot of women face, for one, it's shame, but then there's the guilt. Did I eat the wrong thing? Did I not rest enough? Did I touch the wrong thing? So it was that guilt for me that I just couldn't get past. And I struggled with that for a really, really long time because, like I said, I'm a chef. So I was in the kitchen. I was working 6 days a week, sometimes, you know, 13, 14, 15 hour days. And so in doing that, I just felt guilty, like maybe I shouldn't have worked the extra shift, or maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I shouldn't do that. And no matter how many times the doctors told me it wasn't your fault, there wasn't anything that you can do, I still felt guilty. I felt like I had to, one job, to protect this baby, and I didn't do it. So I struggled a lot with getting past that in my journey. And I always tell people when I tell the story now, you know, as you know, women and how we were raised, we were always taught that you work it out with God. Everything that you have to face, you take it to God, you talk to him about it, and you don't have to see a counselor, you don't have to see a therapist, or you don't have to go to a support group or find a network that's going to help you with people that's in the same situation. So I didn't do that. And that was one of the things that I regret at the time. I did what we were taught to do. You talk to God and he'll work it out. And trust me, I believe in him. I stand firm. I know that he's faithful. But I also feel like getting around a group of people that can help you and that go through some of the same struggles and situations will help you get to that next level of healing to move forward. So one of the things that I didn't do that I regret. So that's another thing that prompted me to start Footprints of Angels, because I said, I know I'm not the only one. I know that there are other women that are suffering from this, that have struggled with this, and they just need a group to be able to kind of come together and talk about what they're facing and what they're dealing with, especially when you start getting, as they say, the mature maternal age. You know, when you hit 35, they write MMA on all your medical paperwork. And so I went to go see the reproductive endocrinologist, and we just talked about history, things that I didn't know, things that I learned, you know, just going through the journey that I did not know about eating right and carbs and sugar and just how things affect us as we go on our fertility journey and our reproductive system. And so I wanted to be able to encourage women to, you know, seek out your reproductive health when you're younger. If you're in your 20s and you feel like, you know, I'm not ready to have kids right now, it's okay to go talk to a reproductive endocrinologist to see where you stand, see where your eggs are, see your egg quality, see what your estrogen levels. It isn't anything wrong with finding out those things out early. That's something that I wish I would have did. So now with Footprints of Angels, we try to encourage women to go and seek these things out so you don't get to the 40s and trying to figure out what's going on. And so going to the reproductive doctor, I found out that I had a septum in my uterus. And I said, what is a septum? Never heard of it. So they do a procedure and they kind of go in and check the uterus and make sure that it's healthy and everything looked good. And so they went in and I remember the doctor doing the procedure and she said, oh, you have a septum. And I said, what is that? And so she explained it to me. She said, when you were, developing in your mom's womb, your uterus just had a piece of extra tissue. And she said, it doesn't prevent you from getting pregnant. She said, but if an egg tries to implant on that septum, it won't survive because it doesn't have adequate blood flow. And so something that I had never heard of. And so she said, I recommend that we have this, removed. And so not only just kind of finding out that, I had low vitamin D and, things like that. So I saw them, got some answers that I needed, and I had surgery this past May to remove that septum. And my first major surgery, I was so scared, but it was something that they said was needed and recommended. I have an OB that I've been going to for a really long time, and I love her and I trust her. And so I went back to her and I said, they said I had a septum and they want to remove it. And what's this? And she said, have it removed. She said, because what happens, basically what the doctor said, but also it does cause preterm labor because as you start to expand, it will tear or it will open. And that's probably what led. And so that helped to heal me up from being so guilty because I was still a few years later feeling that I wasn't bogged down with guilt. I wasn't locked up in a room depressed. But I would think about it. Sometimes it would bother me. What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? And trying to retrace my steps or, to go back and see what did I do? And so when I found out that you didn't do anything, you had something that you were born with, and sometimes when things happen to us, we're hesitant to find out answers. But sometimes those answers will heal you. They will help you get rid of some things that you're holding on to. So finding that out, I said, I canceled that appointment many, many, many times. And if I would have just went, I would have knew this beforehand. So that is kind of where my journey went. I had the septum removed. And in doing that, my doctor said, well, since you're going to be under anesthesia, let's go ahead and just make sure that everything looks good. Let's check the outside of the uterus. Let's check the fallopian tubes. Let's just do a whole clean sweep, as I would say, and make sure that everything looks good. So he, when he did the septum removal, he went in and checked everything. And I had very mild endometriosis and some fibroids. Never thought I had fibroids. And I remember my mom would always ask me, do you have fibroids? And I say, no, never been diagnosed with it. She said, well, it runs in our family. I have them. Everybody has. And I said, well, I don't have them. So the doctor, in learning some of my symptoms and different things, he said, I believe you have endometriosis and I believe you have some fibroids. And I said, no, I don't. And I'm like, let's just remove the septum. Let's not do anything else. So he said, no, this is what we need to do. So had all of that taken care of, healed up from that. And so he came back and he said, because of your age, I still recommend that we do an ovulation induction cycle. So currently right now in the process, that's where I'm at. And that's because my ovarian reserve was still really good. My hormones and quality things were really good, but because of my age. And so I just want to encourage women that, if God puts a desire on our hearts, that he will fulfill it and he will bring it to pass. It will happen. You just have to trust the process. And I'll tell people it's not an easy process. It's not. I have some days where I'm happy and I have some days where I feel like, why me? Why me? Why do I have to face this challenge? And taking the medication is not always easy. And I follow a keto diet, not always easy. sometimes we want to crave those carbs and we have to have it. But I feel like if the end result will get me the blessing that I want, then why not do these things? And I feel like it's not asking anything extra. It's, to eat right, to live right, to stay faithful, to pray, to focus, to journal. Sometimes I know when we're going through, we can't find the strength to sit down and talk to God. We're not mad with him. We're not upset with him. We're not questioning him. But we just kind of move so much to keep our mind busy that we don't give him the time. So I find that I have a book. It's called A Faith. It's just a faith journal. I sit down and I write it, and I write my prayers in, and I write what I want to do. I write down my baby's names, and I practice positive, as they say, affirmations. I talk to myself. I say, yes, I'll be 41 next Tuesday. So when it starts, that's when I'll be 41. And to be honest, I had a doctor's appointment last week, and I cried. And my doctor said, it's understandable. You're having a birthday. It's, you know, you're going through a lot. We've given you all these hormones, you know, so it's understandable, but stay on that path. So I just try to stay faithful. When I get myself down, I do things to lift myself back up. I talk to my body. I talk to my babies. I say, you know, my body is healed, whole, and well from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Everything works the way he ordained it to work. My ovaries are good. My uterus is good. My eggs are good. Everything is fine. Everything will work out in his perfect timing. So I have to do that. I don't walk around in the street and yell it all out. If I'm sitting at my desk or I'm going about my day, I'm talking and I'm just saying these things to keep myself uplifted. Because as soon as I fall back and say, you know what, this is not going to happen for me, or, you know, why me, then it's not going to happen. You know, we have to stay faithful. We have to stay a positive, and we have to trust the process, and we have to trust our doctors. Sometimes it's really hard. I'm guilty of it. Like I said, I'll call my OB and say, hey, you know, does this sound right? And she's like, I'm an OB. This is a reproductive endocrinologist. He's been doing this for a really long time. Trust what he tells you. And in the practice that I go to, my doctor, he's a man and he's pretty much black and white. And then there's a couple of doctors there that they'll coddle you, you know, they'll kind of soften things up for you. But I just try to stay focused and try to, you know, just lift myself up. And like I said, I just learned so much about my body, about the reproductive system. And I think that's what women need to know. I think we need to know the education behind it about things that we can do to kind of preserve our eggs. We know we're only given so many eggs and they're only going to stay good for a certain amount of time. We know that. But what are some lifestyle changes that we can do to kind of help increase that process of the egg? So that's my journey. I hope I didn't say too much or talk too much.
No. Everything you said was...
Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.com. That is Better, H-E-L-P.com. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your personal goals? BetterHelp will assist your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message directly to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website at betterhelp.com/sisters. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. There's a special offer for our listeners. For Sisters in Lost listeners, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/sisters. I am so excited for you all to tune into BetterHelp, as I've been using it for the last 4 weeks, and I absolutely love the counselor that I was matched with. You can also choose a counselor that specifically works with African-American patients or is African-American themselves, especially if you're looking for someone who can relate to your cultural experiences as you're going through grief, loss, and healing. Once again, the website to get 10% off is betterhelp.com/sisters, betterhelp.com/sisters.
I just want to go back to the ovarian study that you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit more detail about that study? And is this something that they do with women who are considered advanced maternal age or over 35 or over 40? Can you give details on that?
Yeah, so what they do is they, it's called your AMH or your FSH. So what they do is go in and check the reserve of your eggs. So, and they do by certain numbers. So anything that's under a one is considered pretty bad, I would say. If you get over a one, up into four, four is really, really good. If you have a number four, one, say, and it's a regular blood test, they pull your blood and they're able to kind of see, you know, what your quality of eggs are like and how many eggs you have in your ovaries. And so for me, and I always tell people when I'm talking, because I talk to other ladies that go through this journey, and a lot of times your AMH level becomes a topic of conversation, you know, and some person say, well, mine's a one and mine's a this and mine's a that. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad. I always say, well, mine's a two. At the time it was a 2.47, which is somewhere in the middle, but that's good for my age. You understand what I'm saying? So different age levels have, you know, a range that's considered good. So mine is still good for my age, but that can decline as we get older. That's what happens. So the number of eggs that you have will drop, and also the quality of eggs as well. So being that I will be hitting 41 soon, I could have, let's just say, 2,000 eggs, and out of 2,000, those 2,000 eggs, maybe three of them are still good quality. So what they do with that, once they get your levels, what they're able to then do is do egg retrievals, if that's something that you want to do, and freeze those eggs, and they will go in and take the good eggs, you know, the ones, and it's different tests that they do. I hadn't did that procedure where they actually take out the eggs and say, you know, they're able to tell if this is a good egg or that's, you know, a bad egg or anything like that. So we had that done. And then after all the surgery, the next step is an ovulation induction cycle is what we're doing. So we're not full IVF right now. And basically the ovulation induction cycle, because after doing everything, my doctor feels like I had an issue with ovulating. So even though some women will have a cycle every month, they may not ovulate within that cycle. So basically what they're doing is kind of manipulating my body to ovulate. So you kind of start off with quieting down the ovaries, getting them ready. Then you take some medication to make you produce all these big, plump, juicy eggs. And then they give you a couple of shots that say, go ahead and release these eggs at this particular time. And then at that time, you have a 24 to 36 hour window to have intercourse naturally, or do what they call an IUI, where they actually take the sperm and put it right to the egg in hopes that you conceive during that particular cycle.
Awesome. Thank you so much for explaining that. And I think that a lot of women who are part of this community can relate to everything that you're saying, especially, you know, once you hit 35, they put that AMA on you. So
yes,
you just get it put on you, and you're at that place where you're like, okay, so what's next? So I guess to help encourage some of the ladies who are listening, who are at that advanced maternal age, what, you know, foods are you eating? I know you mentioned that you're doing the ketogenic diet. So what are some of the lifestyle changes that you have made that you have seen to help you as you're going throughout this journey?
So one thing definitely is diet. So just to kind of start to break it down for me, slowing down. That's one of the hardest things for women to do. We are trained to go. We are trained to go. We are trained to take care of the house, the husband, the family, the job. We're trained to work through pain. Even if we're tired, we're trained to just keep going. So sometimes you just have to slow down. And if that means you have to say no, sometimes you have to say no. I know a lot of times some women don't want to share their fertility journey, or that they're on with different family and friends. But I feel like if the family and friends, if they're tight and you can trust them and you feel like you're in a safe space, it's okay to share that with them, because when you tell them no, now they know why. You know, when you say, I just can't come today. I don't, you know, I need to just sit still today. So slowing down is one of the lifestyle changes that I've had to make. Other changes that I've done is eating differently. So we eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of meat, not many carbs at all. You know, we do have cheat days where we can go in and kind of do some carbs and some sugars, but just kind of a lot of avocados, a lot of the good fat is all of that stuff that is really good for egg quality and trying to preserve your eggs, vegetables. Believe it or not, they always say eat fruit, and fruit is really, really good. So if you got to have a sugar craving, I would rather you eat fruit than like a cupcake or something like that. But also eat fruit to kind of substitute that. And then one thing that I've learned on this journey that I didn't know, we always think if we go in the gym and we just work it out and we just go and go and go and go. You know, my doctors tell me, we want you to exercise, but walk, do yoga, do Pilates, do things that are less stressful on the body where you can still lose weight and get healthy, but you're not being so strenuous in how you do things because all of that affects our health. Now, if you're a woman and you've worked out a lot before and your body's used to it, then it's okay. But if you're a little bit older and you've had some challenges and you know you still want to work out, go take a walk, do some yoga. I know YouTube has tons of yoga videos that you can do at home. They actually have some geared towards fertility to kind of help you with your body and things like that. So just taking it easy, slowing down a little bit, taking care of yourself. And when I say taking care of yourself, that means quiet time. If you have to do a spa day or a manicure or a pedicure, do that. Because if you do go to a reproductive doctor and they recommend different cycles, whether it's IVF or something like that, they're going to tell you to slow down. They're going to tell you, you know, to kind of watch what you eat and just take some time for yourself during this journey, because your body does go through so many ups and downs. Even if it's something as simple as maybe your advanced maternal age and you've been trying and you just have a really low estrogen level or a low progesterone level, and they're going to put you on, you know, supplementations for that. And so having that, if your body's going to go through some changes. And so the more you slow down and take care of yourself, I think it would definitely help you out. And I trust I am guilty of it because I move fast. So sometimes I have to sit still and say, you know what? I can't go. I can't come to game night, or I can't do this because I don't feel as bad as I used to telling people that, because they know what kind of journey that I'm on.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. For show notes and more information on today's guest, go to sistersinloss.com. If you have not joined our online community, go to sistersinloss.com, as well as sign up for our newsletter. We want you to be a part of the community so you can know all of the events that we have planned on as Sisters in Loss. Go to sistersinloss.com, sign up for our newsletter, join our online community, and stay connected with us. Talk to you soon.